Check it out now. Check it out now. Check it out. Uh-huh. It's like that, yeah. It's like that now. It's like that. Uh-huh. It's like that now. That black 4-5, I gotta put it on. That chrome Glock 9, I gotta put it on. That 38 special, I gotta put it on. Never leave the house without the Teflon. Hop off the porch like, oh, 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 oh. That new bounce, new bounce. Don't trip on me.
Oh, I'm bumping that new game. That's the new documentary, too. Y'all got to get that on iTunes, man. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as Tariq King Flex Nasheed. All that good stuff. We're going to chop up some good game on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. The phone number, by the way, for you to call in is 818-850-5404. Let me bump that cube. Cube is spitting that hot fire on this track. Hold on, I gotta let this ride. I just had to let that. I've been bumping this shit all day. I love this joint. But anyway, what we're gonna do right now, family, before we get into the hot fire, before we get into the ism, before we get into the game, before we start talking about things that are pertinent to our communities out here, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, family. And we will be right back after the commercial break on the Tariq Elite Radio Show.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Toledo, Ohio, and all surrounding areas. Toledo, Ohio, and all surrounding areas. Get ready. New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed filmmaker Tariq Nasheed is coming to Toledo, Ohio for a live lecture called Break the Cycle. Break the cycle. So join him on Saturday, November 14th at the historic Collingwood Arts Center. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. For tickets and info, go to www.tariqlive.com. For tickets and info, that's tariqlive.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize. We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. And don't forget, like I said, we're going to be in Toledo, Ohio. That's going to be on November 14th. So get your tickets at tariqlive.com, ladies and gentlemen. I got to chop up a lot of good game for the family, especially for the youngsters. I want you to bring your youth, bring your teenagers, bring all those people who really need the game. Because what I'm going to do, I got to really start focusing on the kids more, because I forget that so many young people listen to my show and so many kids listen to me. I often forget that. And when I was out at the Million Man March out in D.C., a lot of teens and a lot of kids were coming up to me, shouting me out, saying they love the movies, they love the books and all that. So I really got to focus on them a lot. Because, see, when it comes to the system of racism, the white supremacists, they focus on children. If you notice, children in the dominant society, they're well-versed on how to promote and maintain white supremacy at a very young age. Do not get it twisted. So we need to start teaching our children, our melanoid and melanesian melano children, melanoid empowerment at a very early age. So what I want to do, I got a sale. I got a two-day sale that I'm doing with the clothing line for the kids. This is for the kids. 2 days. 2 days only. And y'all better hurry up and get on this, because, again, this is a two-day sale that I'm having because I know school is popping and it's getting cold in some of these cities. So I want you to get some of the Tariq Elite jackets for the youth, for the kids. And we got them half off right now for 2 days only. We got the jackets for kids, the small jackets, half off, and the smaller shoes, the Flex Step boots, we got them half off for 2 days only. You can go to TariqRadio.com, all right? Go to the top of the page at TariqRadio.com. And there's a little button that says 2-day jacket sale. All right? You click that button at TariqRadio.com. You got today and tomorrow to do it. And you're going to get the jackets, the leather jackets. They're going to be 50% off. And the flex step boots, the smaller sizes, are going to be 50% off. And you better get on that now. Get on that right now because that sale is for 2 days. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff going on. Let me see. The phone lines are lit up right now. Let me see some of the family who's calling up right now. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Rashad from Indianapolis. How you doing, Tariq?
Hey, Rashad, how you doing, family?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I don't want to take up too much of your time. First of all, I want to thank you for everything you're doing. I just had two questions. One question was, what do you think about Bernie Sanders? What do you think about his whole stance? I mean, is he legit or what's going on with him?
Well, the thing is, with Bernie as well as Hillary, they're not talking about anything specific that they're going to do for the black community. You dig? They talk in these little code words and, you know, they'll pal around with some of these so-called Black Lives Matter people, which is a damn joke. The Black Lives Matter people are people that's been selected by the white supremacists. I've been telling y'all this forever. So I see the media, they're pumping up all of these little meetings that they keep talking about they're having with Black Lives Matter as if Black Lives Matter represents black people collectively. They don't. Black society really don't even know who some of these people are for the most part. So we got to stop letting them run that Jedi mind trick on us and just make them get down to the nitty gritty and stop all the games and the deception and say, hey, look, what are you going to do for black people? I don't give a fuck about you having a meeting with some Black Lives Matter person who's selected by one of your other white supremacist people anyway. What are you specifically going to do for black people, not minorities, not people of color, not these little code words that means any and everybody? What are they going to specifically do for black folks? And we got to hit them up and we got to start asking these questions hard. So don't let them come around and start doing the nay-nay and doing the Dougie and doing the Cabbage Patch and going to the black churches, singing Amazing Grace and all that. That's not going to work anymore. We got real issues that's very unique to black society. And Bernie and Hillary and these people, they're not addressing it. And my thing is, we shouldn't vote for any of them if they're not going to address our issues. Let's stop that shit. We're going to have to start voting independent. You dig?
That sounds good to me. Now, the second question, I'm sure you heard about BET and the awards and how we should boycott it because they didn't show the Million Man March. Dr. Boyd Watkins, he went in on them a little bit about, you know, how they're kind of promoting the whole genocide in our community in reference to the musicians that they promote. What do you think about that and what he has said, basically?
Yeah, I think there might be some cadence to that. But what we have to do, we have to create alternative media, and we have to not only create alternative media to that, we're going to have to promote it financially, and that's the thing. And a lot of black, well, I'm not talking about Dr. Boyce, by the way, but a lot of black people will say, well, we need other media. We need more positive images. But when you get the goddamn images, motherfuckers want to bootleg them. And that's the problem. They want the shit for free, and then you don't create a system where you can monetize and maintain a system of your own media. So you can't have it both ways. See, black folks got this little catch-22 shit that we want to jump and hop around, but you can't have it both ways. You can't holler out, we want Hidden Colors for free, we want movies like 7 a.m. for free, all that, and then say, okay, well, how come we getting all these negative images? Because people buy and support those negative images monetarily. You dig?
That's right. That's right. I understand that.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for the call, brother. Look, let me talk to black folks today. Let me talk to my melanoid audience. We got to stop with the catch-22 bullshit. With the selective outrage bullshit. Because I've noticed, and again, I went to the Million Man March this week and had a great time. I vibed and networked with a lot of people. And I've been seeing memes all around the internet talking about, well, the Million Man March was pointless. Look at all the money they spent with white companies. And there's several memes of people breaking the money down. There's a million black people. That's $25 million for the hotel, $30 million for the transportation, another $40 million for restaurants. And all of these are non-black. And So people are complaining about all the money that was spent in D.C. this weekend for the Million Man March. And my question to you is, how much money are you spending now with non-black people in your city right now? Let's cut the bullshit. Because right now, as we speak now, the same people complaining, you're spending that same amount of money in whatever city you are in right now with non-black businesses. Let's keep that shit 100. Let's not get selective about spending money in D.C. and all that. Everywhere you go, you're spending money with people in the dominant society. Let's cut that bullshit game out. All right? It's selective outrage. It's really a way to kind of, because, you know, if Farrakhan gets the credit for kind of bringing a lot of people together, so it's almost a low-key slight at Minister Farrakhan. And that's the thing with us, too. We don't want to see another black person get shine, so we got to find some kind of selective fault with that black person getting shine. But you're spending money in the dominant white society right now, whatever city you're in. Tell me a city you're in that you're not doing that. When we start talking about all the money spent in non-black hotels, there's only a handful of black hotels in this country, and most of y'all ain't spending no money in them because most of you don't know where they are. Let's just keep it 110. You're spending your money on transportation that's white and non-black. Why? Because there is no black-owned transportation or mass transportation anymore. Let's keep it 100. So let's stop with the selective outrage. Yeah, we spent money in D.C., but we're spending money with the white supremacists and people in the dominant society everywhere we go. And when it comes time to spend money with black folks, all of a sudden we start getting this, well, should we need to get it for free. Damn, is it about the money or is it about the message? You know, we get that dumb coon talk, which I'm going to get into later on in the show, by the way. Let me get another call while I'm thinking about it. What's going on? Who's calling? Okay, hello?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who is this?
It's Justin calling out of Baltimore.
Justin out of Baltimore. How you doing, fam?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good. What's on your mind, Justin?
I had a quick relationship question, if you don't mind answering for me.
Go ahead. I can do relationship questions. Go ahead.
Okay. Got a situation where I got a chick, real cooperative, you know, make her own money, real, you know, got a lot going for herself. But she decided to relocate herself to Georgia. Now, she's a cool chick. Again, I don't mind rocking with her, but I don't even want this relationship. What's your views on long-distance relationships, or should I even waste my time, or I'm on a fence?
Well, long-distance relationships work if you guys are planning on linking up in the same city. It has to be some type of end game where you're going to end up back in the same city eventually. Now,
okay.
She's out of college and everything. Well, how old is this woman, by the way?
She's about to turn 28.
Okay, so she's almost 30. So she's going to be settled in Georgia. She's going to Atlanta, right?
Yeah,
so she's going to get settled in Atlanta. Okay, that's fine. Now, how serious is this relationship? Is it serious enough for you to move down there?
Because I live in Baltimore. I got, you know, I have a daughter up here, got a real, you know, good career, got my own home and shit like that.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah. Well, that you're going to charge that shit to the game then. Okay. Yeah, that's some shit you got to charge to the game. I mean, there's no way around that. You got family up there. You're established. You got you a house and all that. Yeah. And, you know, she wants to go down. And that's fine. Sometimes, man, in relationships, sometimes the timing is off. Sometimes people have different journeys that they have to take in life, and just the timing isn't there. I've been there. You dig? I've been in relationships with females, and I'm like, okay, I like you, but I can't. This city, I got to bounce, and I know you can't bounce. So, you know, good luck to you.
Right.
You dig?
Okay. Yeah, like I just wanted to get your point of view, but I appreciate that, man.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for the call, brother.
No problem.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of game, man, I'm putting together a project that I'm going to have. I'm going to do a course. It's like a teaching course that's going to go on sale. This one is going to be about $100 for this course. Just dropping hot game. It's going to be like a video training course for game. You know, y'all remember my first DVD, the Mac Lessons DVD. This is going to be like a definite upgraded, higher quality version of that, but just more concise. more serious, more to the point. That's going to be coming soon because a lot of people still ask about the relationship stuff, and I still want to do the relationship stuff. There's just so much shit going on in our society that we can't ignore. But I'm going to put together a project where it's just all about straight up game. It's going to be hot. I'm getting it together now. I'm going to keep you guys posted on that. You dig? Let me get another call here. A lot of folks are calling, and I do want to get into some ism. What's going on? Who's calling?
This is Dez. Call from Detroit, Michigan.
What's up, Dez from Detroit? How you doing, fam?
Pretty good, man.
What's on your mind?
I have a question. So, you know how in the society that people always say black males are kings?
Yeah.
Now, I want to know what characteristics do they share so I can become myself?
Oh, well, the thing is, sometimes we start talking in a lot of cliches. And let's just be clear. A lot of the whole African king and queen thing, you know, that becomes an ego boost thing. You know, for people who've been beaten down and your self-esteem has been trampled, you know, you kind of say things, you get into clicheisms to kind of boost people, boost their morale. And let's be very honest, all people who were in Africa were not kings and queens. Let's just be real. Everybody wasn't a king and queen. Somebody had to be a goddamn peasant. So the thing is, somebody had to be a fucking peasant. So in order to be a king or a queen, you had to either be born into royalty or you had to earn your way into that. You had to fight your way into it. You had to hustle your way, think your way into that. And that's how you become a king proverbially. In your society or in your world, you create a situation where you empower yourself so that you can be a shot caller, so that you can be less dependent on those in the dominant society. So that will bring you closer to kingdom. But while we claiming king and queen, we still have to understand that we are in a system of white supremacy, and the white supremacists, they can trump any type of African king or queendom if we don't have a system and an economic base in order to back up our claims of these titles we have. That's why I get on people about talking about we need to claim our Moorish status and we need to claim indigenous status. That shit don't mean nothing if you don't have an economic base or a military base to back up whatever you claim on paper. The white supremacists don't give a fuck about what you put on paper. They got military and they got a system of financial rewards or deprivations that they can use on you in order to maintain their system. So we need to combat that with our own system of empowerment. Then we can call ourselves whatever the fuck we want to call ourselves. But just broke people sitting around in a circle talking about I'm a king and you a queen, that don't mean nothing. The white supremacists, they love that. As a matter of fact, the whole king and queen thing, remember, during slavery, they would name black people that shit as a joke. That's why when you look at slave movies, they have the slave women would have names like Queen. That movie with Holly Berry when she was a slave, her name was Queen. They used to name black men King or The King or Leroy. Leroy means the king in French. That's why the name Leroy has become synonymous with black men. So we have to look at the games and the things that's been programmed into us by the white supremacists. You feel me?
Okay, then thank you.
Much respect, brother. So, yeah, we got to understand how to get empowerment, melanoid empowerment. We got to be about melanoid empowerment, family. Speaking of melanoid empowerment, on melanoidnation.org, which is the best social activism site in the world, as far as I'm concerned, because we put the information out there. We give this some solutions, some tips. We get the information out there. But on melanoidnation.org, and by the way, everybody, y'all need to be making your donations on a regular basis to melanoidnation.org, because again, the holiday season is coming up and we're going to do a lot of things for melanoid people, as we already do. We already give a lot of money. We give thousands of dollars to schools and businesses all around the world. And we're going to be doing some stuff in Africa. I'm going to Africa later on in November. So we're going to get some things set up over there real time. Because a lot of times we sit around and talk about, well, someday we need to go to Africa and we need to link up. We're doing this shit. When I go over to Africa, again, because I've been there many times, but when I go over there now, we're talking melanoid empowerment. We're linking up with brothers and sisters over there, and we're going to start setting it up and getting our Pan-African game cracking. But I digress as far as that. But we ran a couple of stories about something that's going on. The white supremacists, they understand how to refine and maintain the system of white supremacy in a major way. The white supremacists, they are now using phone apps to target black people now. That's the new refinement of white supremacy. There was a situation out there yesterday in Washington, D.C., where a black guy, some white supremacists, some random people just notified the police. I don't know if they called the police on phone or if they used an app. Sound like they used one of these little white supremacist apps. But they notified the police of these two black men who just happened to look suspicious. They were going to the ATM to get some money. Some suspected white supremacist civilians just called the police and said they looked suspicious. Then the police came and just rolled up on the dudes, twisting them up. And one damn near broke one brother's arm, twisting his arm behind his back. He's screaming. And I think they detained or arrested the guys for resisting arrest. And that's the new thing. Black people are out here getting arrested for resisting arrest. That old Jim Crow bullshit. You're just being arrested just for being black. You get arrested for resisting arrest. See, that sounds like a contradiction. It makes no sense, but in a system of white supremacy, it makes sense because black people, you have no rights. But now these white supremacists are using phone apps in order to share information with each other, in order to Jim Crow and segregate these neighborhoods. So whenever black people show up in some of these neighborhoods, these white supremacists are now connecting with each other anonymously on these apps, and these apps keep a lot of your information private. So now these white supremacists can privately and secretly share information. So when a black person show up, they can notify each other, then notify the police. So basically these apps, like one is called Nextdoor. We ran a couple of stories on that on melanoidnation.org. That's one up in the Bay. They're basically targeting black people. Any black person who's in one of these neighborhoods, you're just walking down the street buying a soda. All of a sudden the cops roll up on you because 20 or 30 white supremacists then put your information in an app anonymously. And the race soldiers are enforcing this stuff. So they'll roll up on you, start questioning you. And the minute you say, hey, what are you doing? I'm not doing nothing. Oh, you're resisting arrest. So this is why I don't get too much into that police brutality talk. I don't really get into police brutality talk because it's not about police brutality. It's about white supremacy, because I'm looking at all the people who's involved. I'm looking at the race soldier who opposing his cops, and I'm looking at the white supremacists who are calling the cops. But out there in the DC area, there's an app. And also, I think it's in New York as well that a lot of people use. It's called Sketch Factor. It's an app that's used to report so-called sketchy people. And the sketchy people are always usually black, according to the white supremacists. In Washington, there's also another one called Operation GroupMe, where they use their apps to connect with other people in their communities and to connect with the police. And basically, according to the story, most of these apps are just... the 70 and 80% of the people they're targeting are black people. They use these code words like AA. Hey, I see an AA person who looks suspicious. There's an AA person who's walking into this store. And they use these things. They say that they're making these apps to stop shoplifting and all this stuff. But when a black person walks in the store, they say shit like, well, we have a suspected shoplifter here. See these little words they use? So, black people, you don't know how much your life is in danger on a regular basis. These white supremacists are working behind the scenes, endangering your life on a regular basis. And for the most part, you don't even know it until it's too late. See, we're going to have to start looking at all the white supremacists who are involved. Just like with our brother, little Tamir Rice, who was killed. And again, the law enforcement, they ruled... some of the officials up there in Ohio, they ruled that his killing by the suspected white supremacist cop of the 12-year-old boy, Tamir Rice, they ruled that that was justified. And they're still trying to get that cop off because the cop has not had charges brought against him or anything. This cop jumped out of a car, shot Tamir Rice 2 seconds after seeing him because he was outside playing with a toy gun. And what happened was a white supremacist suspect sat up looking at this child play with a toy, and the white supremacist civilian who saw Tamir Rice, he knew it was a child. Let's be very clear. This dude knew that this was a kid playing with a toy. He knew it. He called in and said, hey, there's a guy out here with a gun. He might be a child, but he's out here pointing the gun at people. That dude knew Tamir Rice was a little kid just out there playing by himself with a toy gun. He knew that. But that white supremacist was a race soldier as well. He knew how to call in the other race soldiers. He was a race soldier assistant. Let me say that. We should call them race dispatchers because they know how to dispatch the race soldiers. So with these apps, again, when white supremacists get together, what they do, they focus on how to maintain and refine and establish white supremacy. That's what they do. They use their apps. See, we get on apps and we start fucking around joking and bullshitting. Everything the white supremacists get a hold of, they use that to maintain the system of white supremacy. So what we need to do, black folks, melanoid folks, since these white supremacists are using their apps to profile us unjustly, to race dispatch the race soldiers on us, y'all need to download all of these apps yourself. Download. There's another one they got called Ghetto Tracker. Look at the code words that they use. So download Nextdoor, Ghetto Tracker, Sketch Factor, all of these so-called crime prevention apps. And what you need to do, black folks, start using code too. Start using code words too. Don't use race because they know how to not use race. That's how the white supremacists know how to refine white supremacy. They know how to use code words so that they're not specifically stating race. That's the part of their game. This is why the white supremacists, they will reprimand a person like Dylann Roof or even a Donald Sterling, because Dylann Roof and Donald Sterling, people like that, they broke the white supremacist code. So they have no problem reprimanding them or letting them be sacrificed to the wolves, so to speak. Because these were people who broke the code and used explicit racial terms. You're not supposed to do that in the refinement stage of white supremacy. That's a big no-no. Major no-no. That's why you'll see a person who's a white supremacist sit up and say, hey, man, that Dylann Roof, he's awful. That was awful what he did. Because now you can't deny that Dylann Roof is a white supremacist, because part of the game of white supremacy is denial. Being able to deny white supremacy exists. That's part of the refinement. So with Dylann Roof, you can't deny it. This dude wrote a manifesto. He was very specific about targeting black people. So the white supremacists, they'll throw him to the wolves. So just because somebody's throwing Dylann Roof to the Dylann Roof to the curb, don't think that that person in the dominant society is not a white supremacist. All right? But part of the refinement stage is denial and using code words. So this is what you do, melanoid people. Download all those apps that these white supremacists are using. And what you do, you start reporting suspected white supremacists on those apps too. You need to start supporting or reporting suspected white supremacists on these apps. So when you see some suspected white supremacist dude walking around, what you need to do is get on that app anonymously like they do and say, hey, I see a suspected child molester walking around here. He's in some gray pants and a shirt. He has blonde hair, blue eyes. He's walking around. I'm scared. He might be a child molester. Somebody come get him. Got it? If you see a suspected white supremacist female walking around, get on your app and say, hey, look, I see a suspected meth user. I'm scared. She might be on the pipe. She might be on meth. I'm scared. She's on the corner of Avalon and Third. Start reporting suspected white supremacists and use code words, just like they use with us. Suspected shoplifter, suspicious person. Well, they're suspected to, you're suspected meth user. your suspected pedophile, let's do the same thing. Fight fire with fire. But I digress. Let me see who else is on the phone here. Let me get a couple of calls because some other stuff I want to talk about. What's up? Who's calling?
Don't worry about it, brother. I'm calling to return these weak-ass boots that you sold me online that ripped when I tried to run in the summertime.
Okay.
No, I'm just fucking with you, brother.
I know you were. There you go. I know you were. Nigga, y'all been that y'all did the same corny shit on the last show. Yeah, that y'all got to come up with new shit.
No.
Get out of here, you damn nigga.
All right, come up with new shit. Somebody else did that same lame bit a couple of weeks ago. Y'all at least be original with your shit. Get out of here, nigga. All right, let me get another call in. All right, what's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Tariq.
This is Tariq. Who is this?
Hey, Tariq. This is Quan from Buffalo, New York, by way of Harlem.
Hey, man, what's on your mind, Quan?
How you doing, big dog? Yo, man.
Man, you got to get to the point. All right, Quan, you got to get to the point.
Good, man.
You're not calling your grandma at a nursing home. You're not calling your grandma at a nursing home, nigga. Goddamn. You got to get to the point,
Quan. I'm sorry, big dog. I'm a little off. I got completely thrown off. I'm sorry, but look, big shout out to you, big homie. Listen. Right now, I'm just calling up real fast, and I just wanted to show my appreciation. Oh, my God. I'm really thrown out. I'm really even talking to you. I was just listening to you.
All right, brother. All right. Send me an email, brother. Okay, man, you're going to slow the show down. You're going to slow it down, brother. Just send me an email, Quan. Yeah, I get it together, man. I respect it. I get it. Sometimes people get overwhelmed. You dig? I understand that. People get overwhelmed. I get it. All right? Now, let's get into some game, all right? Today's topic is about people in black society who enable dusty behavior. We're talking about dusty behavior enablers within black society, all right? Because that's a problem. Now, when I was at the Million Man March this weekend, and I had a good time, I had a great time, and I talked about this on my Sunday's Ustream show. At the Million Man March, I went outside of the Washington, the White House area, outside of the Capitol Hill area, and, you know, there were a lot of street vendors and food trucks and all that on the streets, and me and my squad, we went out to get food, and I'm walking down the street, and somebody... You know, my head was turned toward the street and somebody kind of stopped me. They didn't see who I was because my head was turned, but somebody hollered at me and said, "Hey, brother, you want to buy all three of the Hidden Colors series? I got them Hidden Colors." I looked over. It was a damn bootlegger trying to sell me copies of my own movie. So, as you know, that shit did not fly well, and things went down. So I turned around, he realized who I was, and it was not a good thing. So we had a little verbal altercation, and I put some of the altercation up on my Facebook page. I recorded it, and if you go to my Facebook page, y'all know what my Facebook page is, facebook.com/Tariq Elite. That's my Facebook, by the way. Me and the guy kind of got into it. I didn't stomp him out. I wanted to stomp him out, but it was the Million Man March, and I didn't want to be the dude to stomp somebody out at the Million Man March. You know, that was one reason I did. And he was an older dude, too, but he was one of these old little rah-rah niggas who's trying to save face. And, hey, man, get your hand off me, because I tried to snatch them shits out of his hand. You dig? And he started running around yelling, and it's just real niggerish. But I'm trying. This is the Million Man March, so I'm trying to be cool. You dig? So I put the video up on my page. And, you know, a lot of people, they understood what the game was. But then there were some people making comments, damn near supporting the bootlegger. Now I understand a lot of them were trolling. A lot of people will, yeah, and when you look at, you post stuff on Facebook and Twitter, stuff like that. A lot of times, black folks will make troll accounts. And they, not even people with troll accounts, a lot of black people are so desperate for attention, they'll just say stupid shit just to get a reaction. They'll be adversarial just to get some type of pushback and attention. So I get that. So some people were like, hey, man, just you should let that man sell your shit. You know, some people will just say stupid shit just to get a reaction. But there were some people who were genuinely trying to defend the bootlegger. Some people were making excuses for this Dusty behavior. It was an old Dusty nigga, too. He looked like he was in his 60s. Some of his teeth were missing. So it was, first, you're too old to be out there bootlegging DVDs. If you're in your 60s and you're out on the street corner bootlegging DVDs, you've made all types of fucked up decisions in your life. But I was looking at the comments of some of the people, not all, but some, and some people were genuinely sympathetic towards the Dusty bootlegger. They were saying stuff like, come on, Tariq, man, you got money. That man just trying to eat. You shouldn't have went in on him like that. Man, you shouldn't have went in on dude like that. He probably got a family. Man, Tariq, the bootleggers, man, he's just spreading the knowledge, man. You know that dumb, Dusty nigga shit. And that just shows within black society, there's too many people within black society who like to coddle Dusty behavior. There's too many people in black society who make excuses for Dusty, backwards, retrogressive behavior. And the reason why so many people in black society are sympathetic towards like old Dusty bootlegging thieves, like the one I had to have an altercation with. The reason why there's so many black people sympathetic towards that, and not all, again, because there are many thousands of or millions of black people who support the Hidden Colors DVD series the right way by getting authentic copies. But the reason why there were so many people that was sympathetic towards the Dusty behavior of this bootlegger and were making excuses for him, that's because a lot of black people, they have Dusty ass niggas in their families that they've had to make excuses for all their lives. Let's just keep it 100. A lot of people who were sympathetic towards the Dusty bootlegger, they got a nigga like that in their family. They got an uncle like that. They got a Dusty Uncle Jimmy who's been Dusty all of his fucking life, that they've had to make excuses for. Oh man, just leave Uncle Jimmy's just Uncle Jimmy. He's gonna be who he is. You got a Dusty ass dad that's been irresponsible all of his life, not in your life, and you had to make excuses as to why your Dusty fucking dad wasn't in your life. Well, dad was going through some things. Dad and my mama couldn't get along. Well, dad, he was on that narcotic. Dad was, you know how daddy was. We've been making excuses for Dusty ass niggas and Dusty ass women too for way too long. So we make so many excuses for them, we end up enabling them. We become a crutch for that Dusty shit. For Dusty Uncle Jimmy. For Dusty Cousin Sam. Oh, Cousin Sam, he's in and out of jail again. You know, he's going through some things. You know, he's back on that stuff. You know, but we praying for him, no. Nana gonna take him to church now. You know, we make excuses because, again, we understand the system of white supremacy. So it's natural to want to protect certain people in the family. But we got this thing where we go beyond protecting and we enable. We enable this Dusty ass behavior, and you're sympathetic towards it because you got this shit in your family. That's some shit that we're going to have to get rid of. We're going to have to stop enabling Dusty ass niggas, enabling hood rats, enabling bummishness, and then trying to reprimand progress. See, anytime a lot of us in black society starts to get progressive and do something that's going to move us forward to empowerment. You got the dusty nigga enablers kind of salting that up. Hey, man, why don't you give all your shit out for free? Man, we ain't got money like that. Well, how you get those J's? Well, that's beyond the point. But we ain't got money like that to buy shit that's educational. What about that weave? But it ain't about the weave. It's about the knowledge, you know. You dig what I'm saying? That dusty nigga enabling shit that we got going on. Because that dusty nigga shit, when you enable dustiness, a part of you becomes dusty too. When you enable dustiness, a part of you becomes dusty too. We got to stop letting that dusty shit affect us, because that dustiness will rub off on you. Look at the situation with Lamar Odom. Now, Lamar Odom, right now, this dude is damn near on his deathbed. For those who don't know, Lamar Odom, the former basketball player for the Lakers. Lamar Odom, as we know, if you looked at the show, he was married to Khloe Kardashian. Lamar Odom, his father had a major drug problem. His dad was a crackhead. And Lamar would, and I would watch the show back in the day when he was on the show with Khloe, and Lamar would make excuses after excuses for his crackhead dad. Eventually, Lamar Odom got on the pipe. He started getting dusty and drugged out. And now they found him up in Nevada, up in a brothel, unconscious. Man, you hit the lottery becoming a successful athlete, but now you regress back into some dusty shit because that's where he came from, dustiness. And sitting up enabling dustiness, you make it seem like dustiness and bummishness is okay. It ain't okay. If you got a dusty, bummy fucking relative, stop making excuses for that motherfucker, because you're making it seem like it's okay. It ain't okay to be dusty. Because then that shit rub off on you. You start acting dusty and non-progressive, and then you get on the goddamn pipe. And now this dude is on his deathbed, and these white folks are going to get his damn money. They about to pull the plug. They got the decision to pull the plug on Lamar Odom, by the way, but I digress as far as that. But the thing is, see, black people, many black people, and I'm not talking about all black people, by the way, but just many, I'm not even talking about most, but there's too many black people in black society. They've learned how to reward dustiness as a defense mechanism, because if you live in a system where you're deprived of resources for so long, you live in a system where you're deprived based on race. The white supremacists, and I always put it back on them, they create a situation where you're deprived based on race. So you learn how to try to cope with being deprived. So what we do, we'll turn deprivation into a badge of honor. We'll say, well, hell, okay, I'm in the projects, but hell, being in the projects is cool. I'm from this hood, and being from this hood is the shit. My hood is more gangster than your hood. We get into that shit as a defense mechanism. And then we start getting into that hit a lick mentality, where you've been deprived so long, so any black person who figures out how to hit a lick or get over or think they get over on the system that's oppressing them, that's rewarded. But here's the catch, though. That hit a lick mentality, where you get over on the system of white supremacy, they've set themselves up where dusty niggas can barely get over on them. You can't really get over on people in the dominant white society, because they set the system up to prevent and protect themselves from dusty niggas. This is why they got all those apps. This is why the white supremacists, the minute that a black person shows up, even if you're not dusty, they're talking about how suspicious you look, and you might be a thug or whatever. So they attack you the minute you show up in their society. So they have a protection mechanism that will alleviate any threat of dustiness attacking them. So now when you have dusty niggas, who are they going to attack now? Who are they going to hit a lick on now? they're going to hit a lick or try to attack people within black society who have limited resources. You dig? So this is why people will reward a motherfucker bootlegging. It ain't about the knowledge. So when somebody's bootlegging a movie like Hidden Colors or any other black product, like they used to bootleg Tyler Perry's movies too, and he had to complain about that because he was like, hey man, this shit is, you know, I'm taking a hit for this. Y'all can't bootleg the movies like that. I need you to support these movies. And when black folks have all these excuses like, oh man, you got money. Man, it's about the knowledge. It ain't about the knowledge. They can give less than a fuck about the knowledge because the knowledge is about economic empowerment. So if it's about the knowledge, you wouldn't want a bootleg then. The knowledge and the information is about economic empowerment. So you ain't about the knowledge if you're co-signing bootlegging. If you're co-signing bootlegging, you could give less than a fuck about the knowledge. Because that's a contradiction. We're talking about creating a system of economic empowerment. So basically, it's about just enabling dusty niggas to hit a lick on other black people who have certain resources that they're trying to use to empower the community. It's all about hitting a lick and enabling dusty niggas and making excuses for dusty niggas who are hitting a lick. Getting over on somebody. And the only people they can get over on is other people who look like them. And then that leaves us right back in the same predicament. So again, the name of the game is we got to stop enabling dusty nigga shit. We got to stop enabling and making excuses for dusty behavior. When dusty niggas out here doing dusty nigga shit, stop making excuses for them. When hood rats out here, you got 80 kids by 70 different niggas, stop making excuses for them. Dudes and chicks out here getting on the pipe and all that old bullshit, stop making excuses for them. We got to start surrounding ourselves around black people who are progressive. Black people who are builders. That's why I applaud Minister Farrakhan. When Minister Farrakhan had the meeting in Washington, the march in Washington, he ended it by saying, hey, I'm having another meeting tomorrow. I want the business owners. I want the black educators. I want the black lawyers. I want the black business people. I want y'all to come down to the meeting that we're having in private tomorrow. That was genius. That would alleviate all the dusty fake hotep shit that's happening out here. You dig? And by the way, we're going to have a think tank pretty soon. There's some things that I want to discuss with the family. Speaking of having meetings with like-minded black folks, we're going to have a think tank coming up pretty soon. But anyway, I digress. That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget, man, I got a 2-day sale. Half off on the jackets and the boots at TariqRadio.com. Go to TariqRadio.com right now. You got till tomorrow, the day. It's a 2-day sale. Go to TariqRadio.com. On the top of the page, click 2-day jacket sale. Get this for your kids. Get this for the youth. It's cold out there in some of these cities. Get them the leather jacket and the leather boots. Get that for them right now. Don't forget to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get the other gear at TariqElite.com. Ladies and gentlemen, follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed and follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to holla at you guys on Ustream this Sunday.